Brachos Daf Lamed Ches. We are on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We are going to be beginning this morning with the words May Havayalah. The Gemara is in the middle of a discussion of bread that was then subsequently cooked. The Gemara describes this as Chavitza. The Rashi's description over here is that it was bread which subsequently was either cooked or fried. We are in the middle of the Gemara's discussion in terms of whether or not the bracha of this is going to maintain a hamotz lechem min haaretz, or is it going to downgrade to a barim min mizonos. The Gemara went back and forth on this issue. Rav Yosef was quoted as saying it depends whether or not the pieces of bread are going to be greater than a kazayas or less than a kazayas. And the Gemara went back and forth in its discussion, citing a brisa regarding the mincha. And now the Gemara is going to ask the question, my Havei Allah, what is the halachic conclusion? I'm Rav Sheshes, so the Gemara here is quoting Rav Sheshes, Hai chavitza af agav deleis bei perurim kezayis. Even if the chavitza's bread pieces are less than the kezayis, mevarach alav hamotz lechem min haaretz, the bracha is going to maintain hamotz lechem min haaretz. I'm a Rava, with Rava adding the following qualification, v'hu di'ika aleha, teresa denahama, as long as it still has the form, it still has the appearance of bread. This is the Gemara's conclusion on the matter. And as we pointed out yesterday, I'll quickly reiterate today, the halacha over here gets a little bit complicated, as there is a debate exactly where the Gemara lands on this issue. And as far as the halachic conclusion is concerned, so there is much to discuss well beyond the scope of the Daf Yomi. But there is a lot to discuss in terms of the halachic conclusion, and so we'll leave it at this. However, I will say Tosos over here. Tosos says that this is in fact the established halacha. Rava is a Basra, he's a later Amar, so therefore we do adopt this position that if I have bread and then it was subsequently cooked or fried, or it was pieced back together again. So the halach is that it still maintains the status of bread. But again, Tosos is also working with Rav Sheshes' qualification. Sorry, Rava's qualification that it has to have the appearance of bread. At what point in time does it lose the appearance of bread? So continuing in Tosos, if you look just a little bit down in that Tosos, Teresa de Nahama, he writes as follows: Near the Heinekish Nosim Apurim B'Mayim. So Tosos over here describes where you're going to be putting it into water. The im hamayim mislavnim machmas apurim, where if the water gets white as a result of the crumbs, azalei teresa de nahama, that is where it loses its appearance of bread. Not really clear to me exactly what Tosus is trying to describe over here, but there is a point in time where it loses its appearance of bread, and Tosus is trying to give us some sort of clue in terms of when that would be. Vechen haya ragel rabinu David mimitzla lavein perurim b'mayim b'layla. But then, just as a really interesting point that Tosos makes, is that Rabbeinu David Mimetz, so one of the Balei HaTosos, so what he would do is he would actually do this. He would take bread, and he would soak it in the water, and it would go through this whitening, so to say, overnight. And the reason why he would do that is Kedel Achlam B'Shachar, because he wanted to eat in the morning, below Birchas HaMotzi, or below Birchas HaMazon. He didn't want to wash, he didn't want to bench, and so therefore what he did is he converted it from being HaMotzi to Mazonos. Shalol Acher Kedei Shiz Chazik Rosh of Yuchel Agin HaLacha. He wanted to be strong the next morning. He wanted to say over the halacha, meaning presumably he wanted to give shir. But at the very same time, however, he did not want to have to go through the quote-unquote trouble of washing, making motzi, and benching. This idea that people are reluctant to wash and to bench, so we sometimes view it as a contemporary phenomena. It's clear from this Tosfos that it's not a contemporary phenomena, but in fact it goes back all the way to the time of the Rishonim. And here you see a Rishon who deliberately took his bread and he mizonosed his bread. We go back to the Gemara. We are on the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, and we're going to be discussing a number of irregular types of breads. We're going to be really looking at two different types of irregular bread. One is referred to as trochnin, and the other one described as trisa. The Gemara is going to be discussing the bracha aspect of it. The Gemara is also going to be discussing chiyuv challah, the obligation to set aside a portion of the dough to give to the kohen. Mitzvah min haTorah, to take off challah, that is a portion of the dough, and to give it to the kohen. The challah has the status of truma, and only the kohen can eat it, and non-kohen is not allowed to eat it. And so what is going to be subject to the challah requirement? So it has to be bread. The Torah describes as being lechem, that the mitzvah of challah is to remove it from lechem. So something which is classically and traditionally bread, so there's a chiyuv of challah. If it's not a lechem, if it's not bread, so there is no chiyuv on challah. And so with these irregular breads, so the Gemara is going to be striking a distinction between some types of irregular breads having a chiv challah and sometimes not. Obviously, what our job is to do is to discover what exactly that difference is. Why is it that some irregular breads are chayv and challah and why some are not? We will scratch the surface of the Gemara over here. We'll have some understanding of what that distinction is, but quite frankly, it is an involved discussion in terms of trying to differentiate. So here we are, we're discussing Trokhtin. Trokhtin, Chayav, Mechala. So the Gemara starts off with Trokhtin being Chayav and Chala. V'chi asa Rav and Amrav Yochanan and Trokhtin. Now in our Gemara, the Girsa is Peturim and Achala. But as the Gon points out, the Girsa of the Gemara is Chayav Mechala. In other words, we are supporting the statement that Trokhtin is an irregular bread, but it's going to be Chayav in Chala. My Trokhtin. Now we described as an irregular bread. Can we describe that any better? Amar Abaye Kuvadara. So Abaye says Kuvadara. If you look at Rashi over here in his description of Kuvadara, so Rashi writes it's Ose Makam Chala Bikira. So you're making a depression in the Kira. The Kira is the oven. And so what they did is they made some sort of groove hole in the Kira. Venosim Besocha Mayim Bekemach. And water and flour was placed in it. Kamosha Shosim Beilfas, as we make in a pot. So Rashi over here is describing it's an irregular bread because it's not baked in the classic sense. It's not baked in the oven, but what happens is that there's a hole that's fashioned in the ground, in the oven, and it's poured in there and it's baked in there. It's like kind of making it in a pot. So therefore, it does not have the classic oven bake, and so therefore it falls into the category of an irregular bread. But it's not irregular enough where it's going to be exempt from challah. It's going to be obligated in chiv challah. V'amar Abaye, now we talked about Trokhtin, now we're going to be talking about the other irregular bread. V'amar Abaye, Abaye is of the opinion, Trisa, Peturim and Achala. So Trisa, which is another type of irregular bread, so this is going to be highly irregular, and therefore it's going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Chala. My Teresa, so what is the Teresa? So Igadarmi, some of the opinion, Gvil Mirsach. Rashi describes it almost like a pancake. Igadarmi, another pshat, Nahama de Hindika. Bread that is the Indian bread. Rashi describes it as it was baked on a spit, and there was oil that was constantly smeared on top of it. Igadamri, a third pshat, is lechem asur lekutach, that was bread that was originally designed to be put into the kutach. Kutach, the Babylonian dip that the Gemara mentions numerous times. So it is a bread that Rashi describes as being baked in the sun. So these are three different interpretations of what exactly the word Teresa means. So we have now in front of us two types of regular breads, the Trokhtin and the Teresa. The Trokhtin is Chayav and Chala, and the Teresa is going to be Patur from Chala. So clearly Trokhtin is more similar to bread, and Teresa is less similar to bread. Tani Rabbi Chiya taught the following brisa, Lechem asu lekutach patur min hachala. So Rabbi Chiya taught a brisa that if the bread was made for kutach, it's going to be exempt from Chala. V'atanya Chayav Chala. And don't we have a brisa that says that it's chayv and challah? So the Gemara says, "Hasam k'diktani time." No, over there it's for the following explanation. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, "Ma'asam mochichin alaha." It depends exactly how the teresa is made. Asan k'avin, if it's made oven, Rashi describes it as basically being the standard shape of bread. So then chayav, so then it would be obligated challah. And kelimu dim, Rashi describes it almost like breadsticks, thin board-like shape, peturim, so it's going to be exempt from challah. So the Gemara over here, interestingly, makes some sort of differentiation in the shape in which it's made. If the shape is more traditional in shape, so then it's going to be chayv and challah. Less traditional shape, it's going to be patur and challah. Again, we're just scratching the surface of the Gemara over here because it has to be that there is more to it than just simply a shape differentiation that's going to be the difference between a chiyuv and a patur. Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef, Haikuva Da'ara, Mai Mevarchni Alavei. Now the Gemara discussed up until now whether or not it is going to be obligated in challah or not going to be obligated in challah, and the Gemara now wants to know what's going to be the bracha on it. Meaning, throughout this entire discussion, it is clear that the Trokhtin and the Teresa are irregular bread. It is not the classic bread. If it were classic bread that was kneaded, it was a thick batter, kneaded, and then baked in an oven, so then there is no discussion to be had. That would be bread, it would be chayv and challah, and the bracha would be hamotzi. That part's clear. But because we're describing these irregular breads, so now the question becomes, we already made the distinction of whether or not it's going to be chayv or patur from the mitzvah of challah. Now the follow-up question of the Gemara is, what bracha do you make on it? It's clear that the Gemara is asking this question, that these two issues are not necessarily going to go hand in hand. Just because the Trokhtin is going to have a chiyuv challah does not necessarily mean that the bracha is going to be hamotzi. So you see clearly from the Gemara over here that the thresholds of chiyuv and patur of challah are not necessarily the same threshold as the chiv and patur, or I should say better, the bracha that one is going to make on it. It could be that it's going to be chayv and chala, and yet the bracha is still going to be a borin and mizonos. Amalei Abaye l'Rav Yosef, hay kuvadar ramay mevarchin ilavei. So what bracha do you make on it? Amalei misparas nahamahu. Do you think it's bread? Guvla ba'amahu. It is just a batter. Umevarchin and ilavei borin and mizonos, and therefore the bracha should be a borin and mizonos. So clearly over here, the answer of Rav Yosef is that because it's a thin batter, so therefore it doesn't really have the standards of bread, it's not defined as a bread, and therefore the bracha should be a borim and mezonos. Marzucho kavrasu udaisu ilavei, ubaruch ilavei, amotzi lechem min haaretz, v'shalosh brachos. Now marzucho was kovei asuda, meaning he would normally agree that the bracha is mezonos. However, one other consideration, and that is that if you establish it as your meal, so then the bracha of something that is a mezonos could become hamotzi if you're koveya suda. And this, of course, leads to the larger discussion of something which is a mezonos, but you're koveya suda, so then the bracha is going to upgrade to hamotzi and the requirement to bench afterwards. Amar mar bar ravashi v'adam yosef behem dechavasu bepesach. And if one were to eat this kuva da'ara, the bread that was baked in the oven, in the recesses of the oven, so one would be fulfilling his obligation of matzah on Pesach. Obviously, we're talking about a scenario where it was not allowed to rise, it wasn't allowed to become chametz, and it's matzah. One can fulfill his obligation. My time lachem oni karin nebe, because it can be described as lachem oni, and therefore it can be used to satisfy your matzah obligation. We move on in the Gemara now to discuss a new topic, and that is a liquid that is expressed out of a fruit. The Gemara here highlights a liquid that is squeezed out of a date. So the Gemara says very clearly that the bracha is going to be shahakol. So the Gemara says, because we're going to be viewing this just simply as the perspiration of the fruit, meaning it's not the fruit. It's just simply a secretion of the fruit, and it's not the fruit itself. And so therefore, the bracha is no longer bar pri eitz, but rather it's simply going to be just a shahakol. Come on, ki aitana ditnan. The Gemara here says that it follows the following brisa. The Gemara over here quotes a mishnah regarding truma. Dvash tamarim v'yayin tapuchim v'chometz sipunios. The juice expressed out of a date, or apple cider, or the liquid that's expressed out of a grape. But over here, the sipunios are the late grapes, the late harvested grapes, where they cannot make wine out of it. You're just going to squeeze it out, and you'll express some sort of juice out of it. It sounds more like a vinegar. Vishar me peres shel truma, and any other fruit juice, and it's truma. Rabbi Elazar mechayev karen v'chomesh, Rabbi Yoshua poter. And over here, a discussion of whether or not you're going to have to reimburse the kohen karen and chomesh, or you're not going to have to pay karen v'chomesh. And it's a debate amongst the Tanaim. And what's this debate predicated on? So let's start with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that you're chayv karen v'chomesh. The reason why you're chayv karen v'chomesh for the person who drinks this is because, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the fruit juice is treated like the fruit itself. If one were to eat the fruit of truma, then for sure that individual would have to pay karen v'chomesh. We're talking about a case where a non-kohen were to be drinking it bishogeg. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, nothing changes when it goes from a fruit to the fruit juice. And therefore, just like one would be obligated karen v'chomesh if one ate the fruit, one would also be obligated karen v'chomesh if they ate the juice as well. Rabbi Yeshua poter, and Rabbi Yeshua says that you're going to be exempt. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yoshua, by converting it from the fruit to the fruit juice, it no longer identifies as the fruit. It is just Zeya Ba'ama, and that means that according to Rabbi Yoshua, you wouldn't be chayv karen v'chomesh, because karen v'chomesh is only obligated when you're eating the fruit of truma, and this does not qualify as the fruit of truma. And so the Gemara says that this position is going to corroborate. Admittedly, however, it's only corroborating with the position of Rabbi Yoshua. Amalei Aumer Rabban L'Rava. The Gemara moves on to discuss another topic, and that is truma. Truma is where the fruit is cut up, it's diced up into very small pieces. Truma mahu. So the question was asked to Rava, what would be the halacha with truma, crushed fruit? Lo hava daita de Rava, my kamar. Now the truth of the matter is, says the Gemara, that Rava wasn't even clear exactly what the question was. Seemingly, he was unfamiliar with the term trima altogether. So Yasav Ravina kamei de Rava. So Ravina standing in front of Rava. Amrle de shumshim mekamart. Maybe you're talking about sesames that are ground up, or de kurta mekamart, or maybe talking about saffron that was ground up, or de purtsani kamart, or maybe we're talking about the seeds of grape that were soaked together with water. Maybe that's what we're talking about. So in other words, he was trying to prompt Rava with all these follow-up questions to help Rava remember what we're even talking about. Adahachi vahachi. And meanwhile, aske Rava ladaite. Rava now came to this moment of illumination. Oh, I get it now. I know what you're talking about. Amalei chashilta vade kamart. Oh, you're talking about the chashilta. So apparently Rava was somewhat unfamiliar with the word trima, but in the Aramaic, chashilta is the same thing. So v'atgaran milsa hadam ravasi, and you're reminding me that which ravasi said, haitam shel truma, if I have the dates of truma, mutar lasos mehem trima, you're allowed to make trima out of them, v'asol lasos mehem shechar, but you're not allowed to make shechar out of them. And to explain this a lot better, truma, as we know, is a mitzvah for the kohen to eat it. The kohen must eat the truma in the way that it's normally eaten. A kohen is not allowed to destroy the produce of truma, but he must only eat it. This is la'achila. That's by Shvius. Never mind. But the basic point is that a kohen is only allowed to eat the truma. If a kohen were to then chop the fruit up of truma into small pieces, so Rav Asi has taught us that that would be fine, meaning you are not taking away the original identity of the fruit. It still maintains as a fruit, and therefore it is not considered hefsed truma. However, if you make it into beer, so that is considered hefsed, and so therefore you're destroying the truma. What you see from here is that when it comes to the crushing of the fruit, it still maintains its original identity, and so vis-a-vis truma, it's not considered hefsed truma. Vis-a-vis bracha, it means that the bracha still maintains to be a borei pri ha'etz if it was in fact a fruit, or borei pri ha'adama if it was a vegetable, etc., etc. However, if you liquefy it, so then that is considered the destruction of the fruit. So vis-a-vis truma, you're not allowed to do that. And vis-a-vis the bracha, it means that the bracha, obviously in a scenario where you're allowed to do that, i.e. it's not truma, so the bracha would downgrade from being a bar pre-eats to a shahakal. V'hilchasa, and the Gemara's conclusion is, tamei v'avida trime, if I have a date and I make it into trima, I crush it. Mevarchin lave, bar pre-eats, the bracha is bar pre-eats. Maitama b'milsayu kaime, kiddim mi'ikara, because it basically maintains it as it was originally, and it still is a fruit. On this Gemara now, it translates into a modern-day discussion of what the bracha is over applesauce. What would the bracha be? So before we answer that question, let's take a look at a Rashi together. Rashi over here writes regarding trima, trima mahu, see the Rashi inside I'm reading, ma mevarchin alav, v'shem trima kol davar hakatush kitsas, v'ena marusak. So when Rashi describes this trima, he says that it's ground up a little bit, but it's not totally pulverized. So Rashi says that when it's crushed, there are still bits of the fruit that are still evident in that which you chopped up. So that's Rashi's description. It certainly seems like from Rashi that if it were to be totally merusak, if it was totally pulverized, and there is no pieces of the fruit that are still there, so it sounds like from Rashi that one would not be making the original bracha of what it was when it was a fruit, but rather it would go down to a shahakal. Seemingly from Rashi, then that means to say that if I have the applesauce and it was totally liquefied and there are no pieces of apple over there, it would seem from Rashi that the bracha would be a shahakal and not a borei pri ha'etz. Now this pshat that we just offered in the Gemara is Rashi's pshat in the Gemara. If you see the Rambam inside, I don't have a Rambam in front of me. I'm not quoting it inside, but if you see the Rambam inside, the Rambam seems to indicate that even if it's pulverized, even if the fruit is totally pulverized, but what you have over here is the pulverized version of the fruit, the Rambam says that the bracha would still be a borei pri ha'etz. And if you look at the halacha, so the halacha is going to differentiate between the Shulchan Aruch who follows the Rambam versus the Ramah who seemingly is following our Rashi. Again, I don't have the Shulchan Aruch nor Ramah in front of me, but if you look at both, you will see that the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah are divided on this issue in terms of what happens when you have pulverized fruit. Do you still maintain that it is a fruit and the bracha should be what it originally was? Meaning if it's an apple that was pulverized, do you make ha'etz? The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch would say you still make ha'etz. And the Ramah following Rashi over here would say that the bracha would downgrade to a shahakal. Shesisa, going back to the Gemara now, continues to the next topic of discussion. And now we're talking about shesisa. So shesisa is a ground toasted wheat that is added to a drink. So Rav Amar Shakoni, B'dvaru Shumal Amar, Borei Min Mizonos. And so here we have a debate between Rav and Shmuel, seemingly a debate between Rav and Shmuel in terms of what the correct bracha should be. Rav says it's a shakel, and Shmuel says it's a mezonos. I'm Rav Chista v'lo pligi. Rav Chista says there is no debate over here. Haba ava habe raka. And Rav Chista's distinction is whether it is a thick drink or it is a thin drink. Now, thick and thin drink may not be the best way to say it. Thick over here just simply means that it is pasty in nature. And thin means that basically it's a liquid. So ava le'achila avdila. So if you make it really thick, so that means that your intention is eating it. And therefore the bracha is mezonos. Let's remind each other what we learned previously, that any time that you have any mixture of food where you have the chamesh saminim as being part of the ingredients, the bracha is always going to be a mezonos. So over here, if it's made a thick constitution, so therefore the bracha is going to be a mezonos. However, raka, but if it's made thin, meaning it's in liquid, lirifua ka'avdila. So therefore it is principally for a refua, and so therefore the bracha is not going to be a mezonos, it's going to be a shahakol. Now, what's not clear from the Gemara over here is that what exactly was the impetus to turn the bracha from a mezonos to a shahakol? Is it because it was turned into a liquid, or because it is principally for a refuah? It's not perfectly clear. I will show you Tosfos in just a moment, where Tosfos seems to lean more in the direction of the fact that it's a liquid. The fact that it's a refuah is a side point, but the main component, the main feature is that it's a liquid. We'll see the Tosfos momentarily. Let's go back to the Gemara, continue the Gemara. Mesiv, Rav Yosef asks from a Mishnah in Shabbos. The Mishnah at the end of Masechet Shabbos says as follows. V'shavim shebochshin is a shesus b'Shabbos. One is allowed to stir the shesus on Shabbos. The shesus on Shabbos is this drink that we're describing over here, where it is basically a liquid, but added into it is the flour, and one is allowed to stir it up on Shabbos and subsequently drink it. V'shosin zeisim ha-mitzri, and also one is allowed to drink Egyptian beer. Egyptian beer back then was more therapeutic in nature, basically served as a laxative. But anyway, our focus over here is on the shesisa. Now, Isak Adach L'Refuka Mechavi. Now, the Gemara asks the following question. If it's principally for medicinal value, Refuah B'Shabbos Mishari, you know you're not allowed to take you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. It's a Gzera D'Rabbanan that we discussed already a number of times in our parak here in the sixth parak of Brachos. And the Chachamim were gozer, that for somebody, we're not talking about somebody who has a sakana, but somebody with a mechesh ba'ama, somebody suffering from discomfort, is not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. It's a gzera d'rabbanan that one may come to grinding on Shabbos. Amalei Abaye v'alo tizbra v'hatanan. The Gemara Abaye says, wait one second. That isn't the question over here, because we're not discussing medicine like an herb. We're talking about a food. And we know the rule is, the Gemara quote, Tanan kol ha'ochlen ochel adam l'refu b'Shabbos v'chol ha'mashkin shosa. A person is allowed to eat food on Shabbos, and a person is allowed to drink on Shabbos, as even though there is some therapeutic value to that food or drink, but nevertheless, if it qualifies as a food, if it qualifies as a drink, one is allowed to eat and drink that on Shabbos. So over here, as far as the person is concerned, he's interested in eating. Same thing with the shisisa as well, that the primary intent of the person is to consume the food. Lishna Achrin, the Gemara gives another version of basically the same point. The second version, the Sikha D'Amri, is basically making the same point that the person's intent is to eat it, and the fact that he gets some sort of therapy from it as well, that's coming mimela. Utsricha D'Rav. Now, as far as the statement of Rav is concerned, it's necessary. Di imei hai. If I all I had was the Mishnah, Hava min la'achil kamachavin, or refuah mimei l'kahavya, where the first intention is to eat it, and the refuah just simply comes matter of fact. Avahacha kevin la'achil refuah kamachavin, lo livrich ilave klal. But in a scenario where my principal intention is to get the therapy, meaning I know it's a food, but my principal intention is to get the therapy, so maybe there should be no bracha made on it at all. So kamashmalan kevin deislei hanamine by bruche. So an idea which has been repeated already two times in this parak, and this is the third time that we're repeating the idea, that if it's a food and I'm getting benefit, and even though there is medicinal value to the food in which I'm eating, nevertheless I'm going to make a bracha on it, because the bracha is on the hana, and I am receiving a hana, even though my primary intention is to get the medicinal value of this food that I'm eating. Akan, that's the Gemara's discussion. End of discussion as it relates to Shasisa. Tosos over here writes as follows. Tosos, dear Ramascha, Haidusha Tatami Mevarchin Lavesha Akol, Vechemashke Mechomine Peros. So Rashi says that all liquids of a fruit are going to be a Shahakol. With two notable exceptions, it says Tosos, Bar Mitir Shvi Yitzar, except for wine and olive oil. Kedarmin and Gabe Arla. Ula Fuke Malachas Gadol Shapir Shemari Shanas and Lasocha Mayim. Okay, and the Bahag says that only when water is added, but according to Tosos, no. Anytime you have a fruit where I'm extracting the liquid from the fruit, so the good bracha is going to be a shahakol. And Tosos over here is making the argument that once it's in a liquid state, so the bracha is going to be shahakol. And the only two notable exceptions, of course, is the olive oil and the wine. Olive oil, the bracha is borei pri'etz, as we discussed in the beginning of this perek, and the wine is borei pri'etz gafen, as the Mishnah has taught us in the beginning of this perek as well. Tosos continues, v'shecher didan. Tosos says, what about our beer? So beer, obviously, is a composite of water and barley, or water and wheat. And there could be a lot of barley content and a lot of wheat content in the beer. And let's even say that you're going to be imbibing even a kezayis within a kedei achilas pras, lo mevarchin alav bari min mezonos, el shahakol. Tosa says that the correct bracha over beer should be shahakol. Ve'afilu Rav Shmuel d'Amrei kol sheyesh bo mechamesh tamina mevarchin alav bari min mezonos. And yes, it's true that we learned in the beginning of this perek that anything that has as part of it the five grains, the bracha immediately upgrades to a mezonos. Hachalo havi b'hu mamash orim. Ve'ein shechar ela taima ba'ama. So Tosos makes a number of arguments why it is that over here it's going to be different. One, says Tosos, is it does not have the mamashus of the barley and wheat. It just simply has the essence of the barley and wheat. Vod mishim sheish bo ilave achrina bepas. Also, because we're in the middle stage, we're in that tweener stage, meaning we're not talking about eating the barley in its natural state. We're not talking about where it's in, where it was made into bread, but we're talking about in this in-between stage, like we also discussed earlier in the perek. V'od, and then Tosos caps off his entire argument, b'shisi omer shahakol. And Tosos says, and look, it's a drink. And a drink you make a shahakol. So it certainly seems from this Tosos over here that when something is transformed into a drink, into a liquid, so then the bracha is always going to be shahakol. And that, as I mentioned earlier, sounds like that's the critical component in terms of when the bracha goes from being a ha'etz, ha'adama, or in this case even a mezonos, and it becomes a shahakol. Tosos says, once it's a drink, it becomes a shahakol. Back to our Gemara. Shalapasu omer amotzi. So, after having so far discussed this morning the chavitza, the bread that was then subsequently cooked or fried, what the bracha is going to be, we discussed the irregular breads of trochnin and trisa, and whether or not there's a chi of challah or not, what the bracha would be over these irregular breads. Then we discussed trima, fruit that was chopped up finely. Shisisa, what happens when I have a liquid that I have in it powdered wheat that's put into the liquid, kind of like a protein shake. And now the Gemara continues, alapasu omer amotzi. Now we go back to our Mishnah, we're going to be discussing the bread and the bracha over bread. What is the bracha over bread? So, seemingly a cut and dry issue. The bracha should be amotzi lechem min ha'aretz. In fact, that's what the Mishnah says. Although, as we're going to see right now, there is a subtle debate in terms of what the nusach of the bracha should, of bread should be. Alapasu omer amotzi v'chulei. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a brisa, mahu omer amotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Tana Kama says that the bracha over bread should be ha'motzi with a hay in the front. Reb Nechemiah omer motzi lechem min ha'aretz. Reb Nechemiah says that the bracha over bread should be motzi without the hay. And what is at the core of this debate, the Gemara goes on to explain. If one were to say motzi without the hay, everyone's in agreement that the word motzi grammatically is referring to the past tense, which is the most appropriate thing that one should be saying. Imagine, you're holding the bread in your hand, you're about to eat it, and you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, that you took the bread out of the ground. So saying it without the hay, invoking the past tense, that's obviously the most appropriate thing you should say. And everyone agrees that when you say the word motzi without the hay, it means past tense, which is, of course, appropriate. Dichsiv, and the Gemara cites a source in the Torah that speaks to this idea that the word motzi without a hay is talking about the past tense. Kel motziyam in Mitzrayim, the Gemara quotes from Parshas Balak, which obviously is a description of what happened in the past. Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Ki pligi b'hamotzi. When you add the hay, now it's open for a debate. Rabbanan savrid hamotzi da apik mashma. The Chacham of the opinion that hamotzi with the hay also is past tense. And dechziv hamotzi l'chamayim mitzurah chalamish. So turning to the psukim in Devarim, Parshas Ekev, Kadosh Baruch Hu took water out of the rock. That's past tense. Rabbi Nechemiah Sefer Hamotzi, the Mapik Mashma, and Rabbi Nechemiah is of the opinion that the word Hamotzi, once you add the hay, it's no longer past tense, but rather it's talking about the future. Shenemar Hamotzi Eschem Itachet Tivlos Mitzrayim. In the beginning of Parshas Ve'era, Hashem says to Moshe, I will take the Jews out. And so you see the what the Motzi has the hay in the front, so it means something that will happen in the future. V'rabbanan, now according to the Chachamim, they can't ignore the pasuk in Parshas Va'era, so they're going to explain the pasuk as to be read as follows. V'rabbanan, ha'u achikamar lehu, kushabrichu liYisrael. This is what Hashem is saying to the Jewish people. Kad mafikna lehu, when I do take you out, and then in the future you're recounting what happened, here's what you're going to say. Avinu lehu milsa, so I will do this for you. Kehech di yaditu da'anuhu da'fiktu. Yaschon me Mitzrayim, that you will know that I took you out of Mitzrayim. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, V'yadatim kein Hashem Elokeichem Hamotzi. You will say in the future, after I take you out, that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who took us out of Mitzrayim. So the way to understand the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Ve'era, even though it happened before you see us Mitzrayim, but it is a description of what we're going to say after we're taken out of Mitzrayim. So therefore, the Hamotzi over there actually means past tense. So what we have in the Gemara now is the following debate. If you say the word motzi without the hay in the front, everyone agrees it's talking about the past, which is the most appropriate thing that one should be saying when holding the bread in his hand and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did take this bread out of the ground. But when you say ha-motzi, so we have a debate between the Tanayim, whether that is talking about the past or whether it's talking about the future. Gemara follows this up with a story. Mishtabchen le Rabban le Rebbe Zera es bar Rav Zvid, achud Rav Shimon bar Rav Zvid, de Adam Gadohu. Ubaki bebrachos. So the rabbis were praising two Reb Zera about this particular Amara, that he was somebody very special, and on top of that, he also had expertise in the halachas of brachos. Those who have been learning the daf long enough, you'll know that whenever the Gemara sets up a story like this, it never goes well, and it always will be that it is going to end in disappointment. And here the Gemara is going to end in disappointment. Who am I? Who am I? The Rebbe Zera says to the rabbis who are praising this particular Amara, so when he comes to you, so bring him to me. Zimnechad ikla lagabe, and one time they got to meet. Afikaluhu rifta, bread was taken out. Pasach v'amar motzi, and now he's making the bracha over the bread, and he makes the nusach, and the nusach that he says is without the hay. He says bracha to Hashem al kinema cholam, followed then with the words motzi lechem in arts. Amar, so Rabbi Zera is unimpressed. Who sha'omrim alav da'adam gadol, who you think is such a great person, ubaki bebrachosu, and he's an expert in brachos, bishlama i'amar ha'motzi, if he would have said ha'motzi, ashmin and tainim v'ashmin and dehuchasa, karabanan. So then he would have taught me how to understand that pasuk in Va'era, as the Chachamim explained it, and he would tell me that the halacha falls like the Chachamim. El damar motzi, my kamash malan. But if he just says the words motzi, he's not teaching me anything. Now the EU, now as far as this particular Amaru said, Motzi Davila Fukinafshi Miplukta. What he did, he played it safe. By saying Motzi and not Hamotzi, everyone agrees that Motzi is past tense. So by saying Motzi, so he didn't get involved in a debate. Saying Hamotzi is controversial. There is a machlokus whether it should be whether it's past tense or future tense. If it's future tense, it's simply not appropriate to make that bracha. Just simply doesn't mean anything. You're holding the bread in your hand. Thank you, Hashem. Because you're going to take this bread out of the ground? No, that doesn't make any sense. So by saying motzi as opposed to hamotzi, so he just removed himself out of any controversy whatsoever. He played it safe. V'hilchasa, and the Gemara concludes, hamotzi lechem in ha'aretz. Dekamalanka rabbanan, darmi da'afik mashma. So and the Gemara conclusion is that it is hamotzi, because we hold like the Chachamim that saying the word hamotzi is talking about past tense. Okay. Really interesting. Despite the fact that seemingly the strategy of this particular Amora who went in front of Rabbi Zera is a really good strategy, saying something that is non-controversial as opposed to saying something controversial, and yet the Gemara concludes that we should take the more controversial position and hold like the Chachamim and say Hamotzi, which of course is the Halacha. Tosos points out, what was the driving force of the Gemara to go with the Nusach of Hamotzi, considering that's controversial? Why didn't the Gemara's conclusion simply say we should say Motzi, because that is a non-controversial viewpoint? And Tosos writes on the top of the Amud, V'hilchasa Hamotzi, V'afapi de'memotzi kulem lo pligi da'afik mashma. So Tosos asks this very question over Yerushalmi Mefarshi. He quotes the Yerushalmi who explains as follows. Taima Kadesh Olol Areva Osios Kigon Ha'olam Motzi. So the Yerushalmi gives an interesting explanation. Imagine we said the word motzi without the hay. How would the bracha then sound like? Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Motzi. Now, if I didn't make that pause over there, which is what most people would be doing when saying that bracha, so it would sound Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Motzi. And the word Ha'olam and the next word motzi would be conflated one to the other, being that they were the first one ends in the mem, the second one starts with a mem, and you would conflate the two words together. And so the reason why the hay was added over there is to help create a separation between ha'olam and now ha'motzi. Now Tosfos says it's a wonderful pshat, but va'af agav debelechem min nami ika erev osios. So of course, when you go to the next two words of the bracha, ha'motzi lechem min ha'aretz. So you have the word lechem and you have the word min. Lechem ends with a mem. Min starts with a mem. And you'll hear often people say ha'motzi lechem min ha'aretz, using one M to serve as the end of the first word and the beginning of the next word. And so if the whole reason why we're adding the hey is so that the words won't get conflated, but next two words, the words are going to get conflated. So Tosfos says, I'll tell you why the Mesadar HaBracha kept it that way. Hasam dekruxiv, because over there we're following the Pasuk. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Masmeh chatir lebehema, ve'esev la'avodas ha'adam lotzi lechem min ha'aretz. And so therefore, Tosfos points out that because the Pasuk has it in this format, so the Bracha is also going to follow this format as well, despite the fact that that you do have the risk of conflating. Tosfos also points out over here that when one makes a bracha over bread, one should have both of his hands and all 10 fingers on the bread while making the bracha. Tosfos arrives at this conclusion because the pasuk that he quoted from Tehillim, Matzmiach Chatzil LeBeima, the Eis of Avodas Adam LaOtzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, has 10 words in it, and therefore corresponding, since the bracha of Amotzi corresponds to this pasuk, so therefore one should have all 10 fingers on the bread. This point of Tosfos is incorporated into the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch brings us down lahalacha. Continuing now in the Gemara. We're at the two dots towards the top of Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Va'al Yerakos Omer, the bracha now over vegetables. Ketani Yerakos Dumi Zapas. There is a connection between the vegetables and the bread, meaning the Mishnah puts them side by side, and so therefore we can learn one from the other. Ma Pasha Nishtana Ayidea Or, even though bread underwent a change through fire. Av Yerakos Nami Shin Nishtana Ayidea Or. The same thing is true regarding vegetables that underwent a change through fire, meaning to say that even though the vegetables went through a change through fire, they were otherwise stated they were cooked, nevertheless the bracha maintains the Bori Pri Adama. Amar Rabbanai Mishmei Da'abai. Zosemers, Shlokus Mevarchin Ola Bori Pri Adama. And the Gemara here spells out the conclusion that even though the vegetable is a cooked vegetable, the bracha is still going to be a Bori Pri Adama. And so this is now going to begin the Gemara's discussion, and this will take us through the remainder of the second Amar of today's daf, and that is what is going to be the bracha over cooked vegetables. The Gemara starts off the discussion, Darsh Rav Chista Mishum Rabbeinu. Rav Chista quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Manu, and who is Rabbeinu as quoted by Rav Chista? Rav. He's quoting Rav. Shlakos Mevarchin Olam Bor Pri Adama. That when it comes to Shlakos cooked vegetables, the bracha is Bor Pri Adama. Rabbi Sinner Yerdim Eretz Yisrael. Meanwhile, the rabbis who come from Eretz Yisrael, Umanu, and the Gemara identifies who we're describing, Ula, Mishmed Rav Yochanan. Ula is quoting Rav Yochanan, Amr Shlakos Mevarchin Olam Shakol Nibidvaro. So he says that cooked vegetables are shakol, and seemingly what we have over here is a machlokus between Chachmei Bavon, Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. Chachmei Bavon say the bracha of cooked vegetables still is an Adama. Chachmei Eretz Yisrael say it's a shakol. Va'ani Omer, now after processing all this information, he says, Kol shetchilas ha'bor pri adama shlako shakol niye bedvaro. V'chol shetchilas ha'shakol niye bedvaro shlako bor pri adama. He says that I'll simply say that the vegetable depends on where we start and where we end before the cooking and after the cooking. If before the cooking the bracha is shahakol, meaning that the vegetable is not normally eaten in an uncooked state, we'll give examples in just a moment, so then the bracha is going to be shahakol. If, however, for that vegetable, then after it's been cooked, meaning now it's going to be in its normal eaten state, so then the bracha is going to be adama. On the other hand, if the vegetable is normally eaten in an uncooked state, so then cooking it, the bracha is going to downgrade to a shahakol. And so what we can basically do is that we can maintain both positions. It's just a question of where we're starting and where we're ending. And the Gemara now gives examples for both these categories. Bishlam kol shetchilas shahakol niyeh bedvaro shahakol bor pri ha'adama. Mishkachala. So I can easily discover a vegetable where it starts off as being a shahakol and then it's a bar pri adama. And the Gemara here gives three examples of that. Mishkachala bikarva, one is cabbage. Now for us and our normal usage of cabbage, we eat it both in a cooked and an uncooked state. So the first example given by the Gemara is a little bit difficult for us to understand. If in fact we're translating correctly, that's cabbage. The second example, silka, that's beets, that's very good. Beets, as a raw vegetable, is really difficult to eat. And so therefore the bracha is shakom. After you cook the beet, so then that's the normal way it's eaten, and therefore the bracha is bar pri adama. Kra, the third example of the Gemara, is pumpkin or gourd. And that also we can relate to. The pumpkin, very difficult to eat before you cook it. The bracha would be shahakal before you cook it. Meanwhile, after you cook it, the bracha would be a bar pri adama. So those are the Gemara's examples of something where it's not normally eaten in its raw state, only eaten in its cooked state. So in its raw state, the bracha would be shahako, and its cooked state would be adama. Now we're going to go in the other direction. What are examples where it starts off as being eaten in its normal raw state, but not eaten in a cooked state? And the Gemara gives examples. So the two examples that are given in the Gemara are garlic and leek. That is normally how we translate these Aramaic words. Now, that obviously poses a tremendous difficulty, because if you think about the garlic and leek, let's take the garlic, for example. Garlic is eaten in a cooked state. In fact, most people have a much easier time eating the garlic in its cooked state rather than its raw state. So the Gemara's examples over here, as we know them and as we experience them, is very difficult to understand. The good news is that we're in very good company. If you take a look at Tosos over here, Mishkachala Betume Vikarte Vim Tomer, Tosos writes on these examples given by the Gemara, Vari Nirale Einayim, Da'abisho Mashbichan, that if I cook garlic, if I cook leeks, I've actually improved their situation, not detracted from the situation. And you can see Tosos where he attempts to respond to this question, and he tries to give an understanding to the Gemara how it is that these are examples of the Gemara where they detract and they diminish with the cooking. We're going to go back to the Gemara Darsh Rav Nachman Shem Rabbeinu Amanu Shmuel. Rav Nachman darshens, and he quotes his Rebbe, and his Rebbe Shmuel, Shalkos Mevachan LaBar Pri Adama, that cooked vegetables is a Bar Pri Adama, V'chaverenu Yodim Eretz Yisrael, Umanu Ula Shakol Nia Bedvaro. So we're starting off now with the same discrepancy, that in Bavel, they say the bracha, the correct bracha on cooked vegetables is Hadama. They quote the Rebbeim from Eretz Yisrael going back to Rav Yochanan, who say that the correct bracha is a Sha'akov, v'ani omer b'machlokish nuya. Now, as opposed to Rav Chista, who said that there's a way to try to resolve these two positions, so he says actually simply a machlokish. D'tanya, and here the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Yotzen b'rekik ha'sharoi b'avusha shaloni moch divreb meir. There is a debate here in this Braisa about matzah that was soaked and cooked. Can such matzah be used for the Seder night and be used for the mitzvah of achilas matzah? So according to Rav Meir, if the matzah is either soaked or even if it's cooked, as long as it hasn't disintegrated, so one could fulfill his obligation on Pesach with the matzah. Rav Yossi says, Yotzim b'riki kasharui avalo b'mevusham. You can be yotze with a soaked matzah, but not with the cooked matzah. Afa pishaloni moch, even though it hasn't disintegrated. And ostensibly, what's at the issue over here of this brisa is whether or not a cooked matzah is still going to have the same status as the uncooked matzah. And ostensibly, what this is now is the basic debate that we just laid out in the Gemara as to whether or not something which is cooked is going to have a new status, or it can maintain its original status. And so what Rav Nachman is proposing is that this machlokas tanaim between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi is in fact going to be the same machlokas that we had previously amongst the Chachmei Bavel and the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. And to which the Gemara says, not necessarily, velohi. Nope. Let's say that all these tanaim are of the opinion that for cooked vegetables, the correct bracha is a bar pri adama. And over there, as far as the machlokas regarding cooked matzah, so that could be a localized debate regarding matzah, and just a simple question of, once the matzah is cooked, it no longer has the taste of matzah, and as part of the mitzvah of achilas matzah, one has to have the tam matzah, and you don't have that once it's cooked. But over here, Rav Yossi would agree. Okay, so far now we have gone through two rounds of what bracha should be made on a cooked vegetable. We had Rav Chisda, who dealt with the discrepancy of the Chachmei Bavel and Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. We had Rav Nachman, who also dealt with the discrepancy of the Chachmei Bavel and Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. And now we are in round three of this discussion. I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, I'm Rav Yochanan. So here Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba is quoting Rav Yochanan, Shlokos Mevarchan Alav Bor Pri Adama, that cooked vegetables, the bracha is Bor Pri Adama. Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shlokos Mevarchan Alav Shakol Nia Bedvaro. On the other hand, Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes is also quoting the very same Rav Yochanan, and he says that the bracha is Bor is a shahakol. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kava Ula L'Shibishtik Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes. And so the Gemara over here says, look, we have two Amaraim, both quoting Rav Yochanan. One says that cooked vegetables is a Bor Pri Adama, maintaining the same bracha. The other says in the name of Rav Yochanan that the bracha is shahakol. And the Gemara now says that Ula, who we've quoted earlier, is siding with Rabbi Yamin's Bar Yefet's position, and the Gemara says, Shabashte, they are both making a mistake. And when Rabbi Zer went over this, so he said, look, you can't compare Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes and Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba daig v'gam shmaita mi Rabbi Yochanan Rabbe. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was a student of Rabbi Yochanan, as was Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes, but he was very careful when he was studying under Rabbi Yochanan. He was extraordinarily conscientious. Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes lo daig, and the Gemara says, quite honestly, that Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes was not as conscientious a student. V'od Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba kol tasin yomim mehadu tamudei kama de Rabbi Yochanan Rabbe. And on top of that, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba would chazer, he would review all the learning that he did in front of Rabbi Yochanan once a month. Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes lo mehadar, and Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes did not review. V'od bar min dein, and the Gemara says, in addition to both of those points, dahu tormusa deshakla sheva zimne begedera. I also know that there was a bean that was cooked seven times over in a pot. V'achle bikinuch seuda, and they were eating it as a dessert. Also v'shalal Rav Yochanan, and they went and they asked Rav Yochanan. V'amr lehu, and he said, mevarchin ilavei bori pri adama, and he said the brachas bori pri adama. So I'm Maisa Rav. We saw that Rav Yochanan actually made a Bor Pri Adama on a cooked bean. V'onam Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and he raises Rav Yochanan Shachol Zayis Maliach. And on top of that, I have another anecdote where Rav Yochanan ate a salted olive. And Rashi over here says, salting has the same properties as roasting. Maliach harehu kuroseach. And uvarich alav t'chila v'sof. And a bracha was made both on the front end and on the back end. Now, here in this description, we don't know what bracha was made in the front end and the back end, but the Gemara's assumption is that it must have been a Bor Pri Adama, sorry, we're talking about an olive, a Bor Pri Eitz and an Ala Eitz. And now the Gemara goes on to explain, I certainly will understand this a lot better if the cooked vegetable, or in this case, the cooked fruit, is going to be having the same status. And so therefore, you start off with a Bor Pri Eitz, and you end with a Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh. But if I maintain that it's not in its original state, i.e. once it's cooked, it's going to be a Shahakol Bishlam. So then I understand on the front end, the Bracha is going to be Shahakol. But what Bracha would I make on the back end? Now, obviously, the Gemara over here is so interesting because the Gemara, for a moment, is going to entertain that you're not going to make a Bor Nefashos. And it will become clear throughout this perek of Brachos that the bracha achrona of Bor Nefashos was not always said by everybody. The Gemara later on will make this point very clearly. And so, for the benching after bread, the Gimel Brachos of benching, so that obviously is a Din D'oraisa. And the Ala Mechia that we say after Mizonos, and the Ala Eitz, and the Ala Gefen. So, Machlokus Rishonim, whether it's a Din D'oraisa or Din D'rabbanan, but that, of course, everybody said. But when it comes to the bracha of Bor Nefashos, so there is a school of thought that exists within the Gemara that for other foods, sometimes it wasn't said. So then, under those circumstances, my mevarich, so what bracha then would he have said? In other words, the Gemara right now is assuming that he just simply didn't say Bor Nefashos. So Dilma, and now the Gemara entertains the idea, well, maybe he did. Bor Nefashos, v'chasonan, kol masha bara. So the Gemara says it could very well be that he made a Bor Nefashos. Good. So at this point in time, the second story doesn't necessarily prove, but we certainly have good indication that Rav Yochanan would make a Bor Pri Adama, or in this case, a Bor Pri Eitz, after he ate a cooked fruit or a cooked vegetable. And at this point in time, it seems like the Gemara has concluded that for a cooked vegetable and cooked fruit, the bracha is going to maintain what it originally was before the cooking. You see Tosus, Mishkachla, Betumei, Vekarsi, we quoted the beginning of Tosus earlier, but you can see Tosus over here who discusses what the halacha should follow. You'll see that it's a machlokus amongst the Rishonim. Tosus quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Tosus quotes the opinion of the Rif. See Tosus for more discussion in terms of the final halacha. Just finishing up the daf, Mesiv Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel. Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel asked the following question from a Braisa. Yerakosh Adam Yotzeh Ben Midei Chavasa BePesach, Yotzeh Behem UVeKelach Shelahem. As far as the mitzvah of Maror, so the Mishnah in Pesachim identifies five different vegetables that one could use for the mitzvah of Maror, and as far as the vegetable is concerned, you could use a leaf or you could use a stalk. But then the Mishnah goes on to describe, Avalo Kvushim, but the vegetable cannot be pickled. Velo shlukim, and the vegetable cannot be cooked. Velo mevushalim, and the vegetable cannot be cooked. Parenthetically, by the way, the difference between shaluk and mevushal is cooked and shaluk is overcooked. Generally speaking, that's how it's differentiated. Anyway, Isak Adacha, the Gemara now asked a question after having cited the Mishnah, if you think b'mosayukai shlukim amaylo. Well, if we're maintaining that there is no change of status between a non-cooked vegetable and a cooked vegetable, so then why bamara? Why can't we cook the vegetable? If the status has not changed, and it's still the same vegetable, and we would be making the same bracha, so then why not use it for mara as well? And the Gemara's answer is similar to what we saw earlier, Shani Hassan, to be in a tam mara veleka. Well, you need to taste the mara. And once you cook it, so you no longer have the taste of mara. And just like by matzah, we said earlier that you need tam matzah, so the same thing is true regarding the mara. You need tam mara.